That poor pig. That poor pig. If only he had some help, life would have been a lot easier for him. If only he had a few other pigs to rally around him and tell him, help him in what he was doing and reaffirm their position of supporters, helpers and encouragers in what he was doing. When we're struggling, when we're weary, when we need a break in life, isn't it good to have people to rally around us, to support us, to tell us we're not failures, but that we're doing a good job and to just keep going at it? Isn't it good to have people who are there for us to bring out the best in us, to push away the negativity and to make the triumph in us flourish? And this is such an important part of our Christian journey, to rally around and reaffirm each other that we are part of God's family, to support each other in Christ-like living and in kingdom building. Now, I know Mo Farah won the silver yesterday, but did you watch him the week before, last Saturday, when he won his gold medal? Did you watch it at the championships? And during the race, did you see how he turned to the crowd and got them to cheer for him? Did you see that? Did you remember that? It was like he really needed their cheering and their shouting out of encouragement, like, you can make it, don't give up, keep going, you're almost there, come on, Mo. He needed the crowd rallying around and reaffirming their support of him to succeed. And that's our role as members of a Christian community, members of the body of Christ, to rally together in order to refresh one another, to catch each other when we fall, to bandage up the wounds, to reaffirm our position of supporters, to cheer one another on. The only difference is that none of us are just spectators or bystanders. We're runners as well. We're all running, and at the same time, we're helping others to run. One of the words in the Bible that expresses that togetherness, that support, that sharing of ourselves with one another is fellowship. Or you may have also heard the Greek word koinonia. And this fellowship, this koinonia, is not optional. It's absolutely essential to our spiritual growth and our health. It's absolutely essential to our ability to persevere in the faith. The first occurrence of koinonia is in Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Experiencing that fellowship is important because life has a way of wearing us down. We tend to get discouraged. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. When we're discouraged, there will be times when we'll have a broken spirit. There'll be times when our strength is gone. Even within our own congregation here today, there are people who are currently being crushed by life situations. Life has a way of wearing us down, doesn't it? And when we're discouraged, perhaps we start complaining. We feel sorry for ourselves. We're tired. We're demotivated. Perhaps we may turn bitter and we isolate ourselves. Sometimes we get discouraged that we stop going to church. And you know, it's sad when we do that because that's when we need each other the most, because isolation isn't the answer. There is a reason why we as Christians need to rally and reaffirm our commitment and our support of each other. Jesus told us in John 13, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus loves us without reservation. And the way we can show we're his followers is to do the same with one another. When he said love one another, he wasn't talking to a massive audience. He was just talking to his disciples. And he's saying, when you get that right, then you'll know how to do it properly to my people out there. The apostles, Paul emphasizes this when he says in his letter to the Thessalonians, encourage one another and build each other up. And again, Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. This Christian life we're working our way through is all about right relationships, our right relationship with God and our right relationship with others. It's not just about rules or about knowledge. It's about loving, lasting relationships, right relationships. One of the heroes of our history is William Wilberforce, the man who worked so hard to get Parliament to abolish this country's support of slavery. And twice he was defeated in his efforts. Discouraged, he was about to give up. Then his old friend, John Wesley, heard of his discouragement, and even though Wesley was on his deathbed, he pulled himself up and he asked for pen and paper. And with trembling hand, Wesley wrote these words to Wilberforce. "Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on, in the name of God and in the power of his might." Wesley died 6 days after writing those words, and Wilberforce, with renewed dedication, continued on. And then, in 1833, it was brought to a vote once more, and Parliament finally abolished slavery in this country. But what if John Wesley hadn't encouraged him and reaffirmed that he was standing by him, that he was doing the right thing, and to keep at it? What if he hadn't done that? I wonder how this history of our nation, of our world, would have changed. Encouragement is such an important part of our rallying and reaffirming, because so much of it is at stake. Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." What the writer to the Hebrews is saying is that without it in our lives in eternity, our lives in eternity are at stake. And so there needs to be this intentional, it needs to be intentional even when there's little to encourage. We don't have this problem here, but I read about one church where their choir wasn't very good. In that congregation, there was one lady who was a real natural encourager, who was known for her ability to make positive comments about everything. But when it came to the choir, she was really hard-pressed to think of anything positive to say. She finally solved the problem one morning. As the choir members filed into their seats, she leaned over and said to her friend, "Aren't they walking in well this morning?" It seems to me that in all situations, she wanted to find a way of reaffirming her church family that they were an important part of God's kingdom. And if we don't make this a regular, intentional habit, we'll only do it when we feel like it. When you came this morning, perhaps you weren't particularly thinking of other people's needs. Hidden opportunities for encouragement will surface only as we regularly look for them, only as we make a commitment to a habit of encouragement, of reaffirming people where they are in God's family. We can build up that habit of encouragement when we rally together, when we join together in fellowship in koinonia. Let's remind ourselves of what verse 24 says. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on." To spur means to stir up, to provoke, to stimulate, or incite someone to do something. In other words, to create a thirst. A thirst for what? Towards love and good deeds. That's how we measure our true fellowship. It's not a fuzzy feeling. It's about rallying around and reaffirming each other in our place in God's family, in his kingdom, and to become a more loving person and a better person, growing in Christ's likeness, to persevere in the faith. And that's what the writer is talking about in these verses from Hebrew. So what about us? What about our church? Are we practicing true Christian fellowship? Christian fellowship builds us up and binds us together. The writer says, "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Note that in that verse, the opposite of not meeting together is encouraging one another. The writer assumes that if they are meeting together, that one of the things happening is mutual encouragement. True Christian fellowship cannot be properly achieved if we don't meet together, if we don't rally around each other and join together in worship. The author of the Hebrews is urging and encouraging this community of believers to rally around and stand firm in the face of persecution, to hold unswervingly to their faith in Jesus Christ, because that was what was happening to them at the time of writing this book. And how were they to accomplish that? How were they to stand their ground when a hostile government was throwing them in jail and confiscating their property when they were facing the real possibility of shedding blood for their faith? Here's what he tells them to do, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, to meet together and to encourage one another, in short, to fellowship together or rally and reaffirm. This isn't just polite conversation about the weather. This is a community of Christians involved in a life and death struggle to hold on to their faith. A group of people who are trying to encourage each other to hang on in there and not go back in the world to the world. And this is why we need fellowship, koinonia. That's what we need to rally and reaffirm. Not just to make our Sunday mornings pleasant and enjoyable, but to give us the strength to persevere in the faith. I'm sure that many of you will have heard the story of D.L. Moody, who once called on a leading citizen in Chicago to persuade him to accept Christ. They were seated in the man's front room, and it was winter, and the coal was burning in the fire. And the man objected that he could be as good a Christian outside the church as in it. Moody said nothing, but he stepped to the fireplace, took the tongs, picked a blazing coal from the fire and placed it on the hearth. In the silence, the two watched it smolder and go out. "I see," said the man. "I see." You see, when we don't meet together, when we don't rally around each other in Christian fellowship, then the fire of the Holy Spirit within us is in danger of dying out or leaking, as Adrian talked about last Sunday. We do believe that God's power that keeps us in the faith, and he does that through us, through each of us, the body of Christ. God's grace comes to us through one another. His encouragement comes to us by the words that we speak to one another. He refreshes us and renews us, our strength, through the acts of kindness and mercy that we perform for one another. We are channels through which God's power flows. So if we don't experience that through joining with one another, other believers in koinonia, then the power fades. When you think about it that way, you begin to realize what an awesome responsibility God has placed in our hands. Whatever it is that each of us needs from God in order to keep believing and keep obeying, we can find it when we come together in the body of Christ. From you here, from each of you here. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be a prayer. It may be reminding them of some truth they've temporarily forgotten. It may be just listening. But whatever it is we need is come through us, and we have to act on it. It's also a good reminder for us if we're tempted to criticize someone, if they're not doing so well spiritually. Maybe it's because we're not being faithful in our responsibility to them. Maybe what they need is for us to judge less and pray for them more, or reaffirm them more in their place in this family and God's kingdom. Henry David Thoreau once wrote that the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. And even in this congregation, there are people here today who are feeling that bit desperate. Perhaps there are people who are on the outside seem calm and well put together, but who on the inside are going down for the third time. Perhaps there are people here who are desperate for a word of encouragement, desperate perhaps just for someone to listen and to care, desperate for someone to remind them that God loves them, that God hasn't abandoned them, someone to acknowledge their pain, someone to grieve with them, someone to rejoice with them, someone to love them. And that's what we're here for, folks, to be Jesus to one another by the power of the Spirit of Christ living within us. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What keeps us from being hardened by sin? What keeps us from being deceived by sin? It's the encouragement, the reaffirmation of our brothers and sisters in Christ that we are to get altogether important parts of God's family. We know that we are all unique and that we all have different needs. Being committed to fellowship will take time and work and a willingness to take some risks. Fellowship isn't always fun or easy. But when we need it desperately, it strengthens us in our faith. And we need to rally and reaffirm one another if we are to be refreshed and grow spiritually. We need each other because we need Christ. And Christ comes to us through one another. So let's show the world that the church is a place with real relationships and real love, where real life change is taking place. Let's show the world what real fellowship looks like. Let's put every effort into rallying together and reaffirming each other in God's of our part in God's family and for the sake of his kingdom. And so as we spend a moment in reflection, how are you in your rallying and reaffirming today? Perhaps there are people in this core family who need your reaffirmation through prayer. Maybe it's the person you spoke to right at the beginning of this meeting. Wherever your time of reflection takes you this morning, allow the Lord to speak to you as we sing a beautiful song that emphasizes that desire to rally and reaffirm each other in the faith. And it says this, Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold the mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and place every place is hallowed ground. And then verse 3 goes on to say, here may we prove the power of prayer to strengthen faith and sweeten care. That's what it's all about, to strengthen faith together and sweeten care, to teach our faint desires to rise and bring all heaven before our eyes. We're going to sing verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4, and just allow the Lord to speak to you, to challenge you perhaps to be more encouraging, to challenge you to be here in this fellowship more, to be more of a part of this fellowship. But however the Lord is speaking to you, as we've looked at these words this morning, let him just help you in as we sing this together. Thank you. Together. Loving Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for the family of Christ into which you have placed each of us and the loving fellowship that we enjoy together. As we study your word and seek to encourage each other in our various gatherings, Lord, I pray that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly and reaffirm us in our commitment to you and your living out in us. Help us each to be willing to learn and also recognize the need to be accountable to each other as well as to you as we seek to grow in grace corporately. Amen. Amen.